Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We come your way every Sunday at 7 a.m. and p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We archive our programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page, and we also link to our guests' websites so that you can get it straight from them. As I like to say, we don't reinvent the wheel. They've invented it just fine. We just link to it. We just hook onto the trailer hitch and off we go. And we're very grateful for the ability to do that. And we thank you very much for checking out the information that is available on those websites as well. Today we have a return guest. She's been on before and we're grateful to have her back again. Her name is Sue London. She is a speaker, trainer, author, radio, and TV show host. She has a new network called the Get Inspired Media Network, and we're going to talk to her a little bit about that, but also about the work that she does in terms of communicating with our dearly departed. The phrase has been used, fur babies. I suppose that is appropriate as well, but it is nice to have you back on the program, Sue. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. We could talk for hours, though, couldn't we?
We probably could, and maybe one of these days we'll just do that, and then I'll slice it up into several programs, and I won't have to do any programs for a month.
There you go.
One of the things that I wanted to touch upon, and of course we did in our previous program as well, has to do with this communication with the departed animals in particular. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I asked you this in the last interview, but I'm wondering if you ever pick up on the voices, if you will, the messages from animals who aren't necessarily domesticated. Maybe you're traveling through a part of the country and there was an animal that may, I'm just going to throw this out because I've seen this happen in Alaska, for example. You know, moose are hit on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sad thing.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, kind of what happens with me in a case like that is that we can be driving down the road and I can feel their energy left there. I can feel kind of what has happened with them. I may not, like, a lot of times when I'm traveling, I like to focus on holidays and, you know, what we're doing and stuff like that. So I can kind of take myself out of that zone. But when I'm in a case like that, I can feel that energy would happen. Now, this is talking about people, and another example of that where you're saying the animals. We own a condo down in Virginia, Williamsburg, Virginia. And now, you know Williamsburg. There's been a lot of history of the wars and that, right? And I can be walking on these historical sites, and I can feel what each person has gone through. And I can feel the suffering they had in that. So the same thing with animals. When we're driving down the road, I can feel their energy. But when I'm really focused, you know, and when there's an animal or a person that needs to get a message through to me, they will do whatever it takes. They'll come in front of my face. They will come in dreams. They will wake me up at night. They will come through in so many different ways. By me seeing them or hearing them or in a song or on a show or my dogs will point them out if I'm not paying attention, if I'm, you know, focusing on other things. So, yes, that is my world.
And is it indeed something that you do find difficult to sort of turn off or shield yourself from?
It is, yeah. I have a really good mentor that I work with personally, and I was finding there for a long, long time, I wasn't getting any sleep at night. Like, I'd say maybe half an hour, if that. And I said to her, you know, I just got to figure out how to shut this off, because I'd fall asleep, and kind of what happens for me is I can go out, I can meet somebody, and I can get a message for them from their loved one, and that loved one will keep coming to me, that, like, kind of like, now I know you can be the conduit, you know, to give this message to my sister, give this to my brother, whatever. They'll keep coming through until everything they've wanted to be said to that person will keep coming through me. Mm. So, and I said, you know, this can be like lots of nights where I don't get any sleep. And so this mentor that I worked with was very spiritual, and she said to me that, you know, you have to say, come back at this time. Give me this amount of sleep, or let me wake up energized. And so when I shifted to do that, that really helped me. So there's nights where I might only have 2 hours sleep, But I wake up in the morning so full of energy and raring to go because they've worked with me and helped me to do that. Where there's other days where I wake up and, you know, depending on the energy of that person on the other side or the animal, it can be very draining. And then I can be really tired that day.
Yeah. Now, is it only the departed?
What that connects with me?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I could have like my angels. I've had Jesus come to me quite a bit. Archangel Michael has come and told me, you know, he's protecting me when there's been different, you know, situations that are new for me in the past that had come up. Jesus seems to be the one who stands out. Mother Teresa comes to me. Princess Diana has come to me a lot as well.
Hmm. Now, what about someone's living pets?
Their living pets don't come to me,
okay.
But their pets on the other side do.
Okay. All right.
My pets on the other side are always coming to me. Always.
I know that it's an extraordinary thing, and I'm sure can be quite emotional at times.
Yeah, it can be, yeah.
As much as I'm sure you try to detach or separate yourself, your personality, from the message that's coming in, it still has to be, I mean, I know of some unconscious channels, for example, you know, in that respect, who bring in messages from others, not so much animals, but other entities and so on and so forth. But you're not. You are quite conscious, quite awake, and quite aware of what's happening.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, is that a point now when I need to get a message to somebody? I can't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
An example of that, we had to buy a new car there a couple of weeks ago, and we were at the dealership, and we were signing all the papers. And as we were talking to the lady and, you know, the secretary and that, and we were talking with her and, you know, just talking in general, like, you know, this is what we do for a living and blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, her sister on the other side appears in front of, beside her, and I thought, oh, here we go. And so then all of a sudden what happened, I started having things come out of my mouth that I couldn't stop. It was literally being channeled out of my mouth with an American slang, and I'm Canadian. So when people hear me with an American slang, like a Southern drawl kind of thing, they it's gotten to be now people say, oh, you're channeling. Who's this from, you know? But this lady, so what happened, all of a sudden we're having this great conversation, signing papers to buy this new car, and then all of a sudden her sister appears. She starts channeling through me this message for her sister to know that she's really proud of how her sister on this side is looking after her son. This sister had passed over with cancer. And 2 years before that, her husband had passed over with cancer. And here the sister on this side had to step in and raise the son of this couple. And so the woman on this side was kind of struggling. Was she doing everything right? Would her sister be proud of her? Was she missing anything in that? And so this sister was trying everything to get, you know, the other sister's attention. And so she decided there and then she was going to use me and get it all coming out of my mouth. And it was really powerful for this sister on this side. And she was crying in my arms. And, you know, my husband just said, yeah, welcome to, you know, our world. And that's why I don't call Sue my wife, but she's my adventure because we don't know what we're going to have happen next, you know.
Yeah, I can kind of relate to that a little bit just because of the number of animals that we have. And you just don't know, number one, what's going to happen from day to day. And a lot of times what you're going to come home to. You know, you always hope that you're going to come home to the loving animals who are all well and cared for and so on and so forth. But it doesn't always work that way. And I have to say that we had a cat who lived 25 years.
Oh.
It was a black cat named Amos.
Uh-huh.
And his owner had passed away quite a number of years ago, and we took ownership of him. And we noticed that he was getting slower and slower and slower, and there was no reason to take him to the vet because it didn't seem like he was in any pain, but we also knew he was 24, 25 years old.
Yeah.
So what we did was one morning before we left for work, he had found a spot for himself, and so what we did was lifted him up and put a bunch of bedding down on the floor under him and hoped that, you know, when we came home he was still with us, but, you know, when we came home he had already left. And, you know, and on the one hand, it's like, okay, we knew this was coming, that this was not a surprise. Mm-hmm. But it was we still miss him.
Oh, and I can totally relate. Like, for my pets, I am so connected to my pets. And, you know, I always say to them, just give me the heads up when it's time to go. Mm. You know, I will support you. I love you. I will let you go, you know, because I know you'll always be with me. But it's still a tearjerker. It is still very hard. And all my animals have passed over in my arms. Because I'm also a Reiki master, so I'm giving them, you know, the energy healing to help them. Except one of our dogs has not gone in my arms. And what happened, back in 2001, a dog that I had that helped me overcome Crohn's disease and life and death pregnancy, and when I was given 30 minutes to live, and then, you know, had the near-death experience, come back, and then I learned my husband of 16 years had this girlfriend, so I went through this divorce. Through all of that going on, my dog Rocky was there helping me, right? Mm. And so I got my health back. I'm 100% disease-free, wonderful life, happily remarried, and just when Mr. Wright came in my life, Rocky's health started going downhill. And so I had said to him, you know, when it's time, you need to give me a sign. I need to know, right? And so he chose the time that, you know, here's Mr. Wright, Ross, in my life. And Ross was right beside me when it was time for Rocky to cross over. And our dog, Molly, was there as well. Molly's a little Shih Tzu as well. And she was heartbroken when Rocky crossed. The sound she made, I will never forget it. She just took it so hard. So what happened, and because Rocky and I were so close, he was really, truly an angel sent to me to help me through all those challenges. So when he crossed, I turned to Molly, and Sarah and I struggled together with that, you know, losing the friend, even though I knew what I knew, just that difference. Like, you know, you don't hold them anymore, but you can see, I could see them, right? So I turned to Molly, and I said, Molly, when it's your time to go, just promise me you'll go in your sleep, because I don't want to go through this again. It's just too horrific. So what happened, fast forward, you know, years down the road, and at this point, you know, Ross, my husband, and I are, you know, we're happily married, and the day came that, you know, I had to do my radio show as a host, and so, you know, getting ready for everything, and I was lucky I could do the show that day from home, so I was, you know, doing a remote show and put Molly out to the bathroom, and I knew at that point she was completely filled with cancer. And every day she would come to me, she wanted a Reiki massage, I do energy healing on her, and I knew she was full of cancer, but she never showed it in a year. And I thought, okay, something's going to have to give here. So she went outside that one particular day, and she came in, and these cysts that she had, they burst, and she was covered in blood, she was shaking. And I turned to Ross, and she looked at me. She gave me that look as if, you know what, telling me it's my time. It's my time to go now. And I turned to Ross and I said, you know, 10 minutes before my live radio show, I said, it's time for Molly to go. And he called the vet and said, you know, could they, you know, wait for an hour and a half because I had to do my show.
Yeah.
And then we would go. And the vet said, no, not the way she was. And she was looking at me and she was crying. And I started crying because I knew she was fulfilling that wish that I had to go when I wasn't there, right? And so when I was on the live radio show that night, and Ross had taken Molly to the vet, and I could feel her fighting, resisting that crossing over. So while I'm doing my live radio show, I'm sending Reiki to her, and I had prepared my producer, and I told my guest, here's the deal, what's happening right now. My guest was feeling it as well. And we went to a commercial break because it was really intense for me to handle. And we went to commercial break, and then we came back, and we're, you know, trying to be as professional as I can as this host. And then 3 minutes into the next segment, right in the top corner there, Molly appeared with Rocky and said, I love you. I'm here with Rocky. I'm happy, and I'm whole, and I'm healthy again. And I love you, and I'll always be with you. Well, did that ever send me flying or what? And here I am on the show, and I said, you know, I was Skyping Chris, and I said, okay, go to a commercial break. And I said, Molly just came in the room, and he's like, oh, no. And so he took over for a couple minutes, and I had a drink of water. And Molly's still, she's every day here with me and, you know, telling me how much she loves me and is not leaving. And I've got 7 dogs doing the same thing right now.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, but there again, like, they do prepare us.
And, yeah.
a lot of people don't watch for that sign, right?
Well, one of the things that it was very difficult for us when I met Amrita, she had a pack of four Siberian Huskies. They were a sled team. Uh-huh. And there was the mother, the father, and the two siblings from those two. And in the space of 3 years, we had to put down three of the four.
Wow.
And the one that was left was the I think he was the oldest, and he was the biggest. And I remember when we put down number three, who was his sister, we got a call at work telling us that he was just making all kinds of racket, howling and carrying on. Uh-huh. And we just did not, we knew why. Uh-huh. It wasn't that we didn't know why, it was we didn't know what to do. I mean, we were there with him in the evening. We actually did get some sedatives, some doggy downers to help him to sleep.
Yeah.
I would actually, after we gave them to him, and we had a cat at the time, and he didn't like cats, or actually he did, he'd eat them. So we'd give him the doggy downers, and then I would pick him up. Now, we're talking about a 70 or 80-pound dog or more, and I would pick him up. I would bring him in the house, and I would lay him down next to the recliner, and we would let him stay there while we were watching TV. And then I would pick him up, and I would carry him back outside the French doors onto the porch, the covered porch, where he would stay the night. So we would do as much of that as we could. And then our neighbor across the street was working for the local Humane Society and was caring for a young female white shepherd who had had a broken leg. They weren't sure if she'd been hit by a car or what have you, but they decided that they were going to do the surgery. So they did. They put a pin in, et cetera, et cetera. And we got to thinking, well, you know, he really needs a companion. He needs somebody.
Yeah. Once you have two, you always have to have at least, you know, two.
Yeah. And so we decided, because they needed to meet on neutral territory, we put him on a leash and took him out into the middle of the street. Unfortunately, we had a pretty secluded stretch of roadway, so we didn't have to worry about cars. And they brought her out into the middle of the street, and they got on from the beginning. So literally within 5 to 10 minutes, we took them both into our backyard to see what they would do. And she's been with us ever since. Her name is Makushli. She's a white shepherd.
Nice.
And when he passed away, she was in the run with him. Uh-huh. And before he had passed, though, and we moved from Phoenix, it was late March that we adopted another shepherd chow mix named Connor.
Okay.
He was a puppy. Uh-huh. And he stayed with us inside, and we crate trained him. He never went out into the yard because the old Siberian was obviously, he was the head of the pack, and you know did not take kindly to other animals. Although he took to Makushla because I think they met on such neutral turf.
Yeah. Yep.
So we cared for him, and when we moved, Connor was strapped down in the front seat with my wife as she drove, and I had the other two dogs in the back of a rented van that I drove, and off we came, our caravan. And then three years ago, Connor, I believe he was bitten in the mouth by a snake. He'd gotten too close.
Oh, yeah.
And we came home one evening, and I'm sitting there going, come on, Connor, let's go. And, of course, Makushla came out of the run, but he didn't get up. And obviously, he'd already passed.
Yeah.
And I just, I was beside myself. So I picked him up, and it was not easy because he was heavy. I mean, I don't mean any disrespect or puns, but he was definitely dead weight. And I almost had to drag him, and I hated to do that because, you know, it's like, he deserves better than to be dragged.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, oh, my God, how am I going to tell? Because he was Amrita's pride. I mean, he was her protector. Uh-huh. He was beloved so much by her. And I had to call her out. I says, you need to come down here. And she came running out, and obviously, you know, the emotions were flying. And and our neighbor came over, because she kind of heard the ruckus. And, of course, she was in tears, too, because she had known Connor. I mean, her dogs, her two dogs would come over and play with our two dogs. Mm-hmm. Well, the first night, we had had Makushla in the house in a crate, and that worked out. But we had to put her out in the backyard. And she just howled.
Yeah.
In sorrow. Now, I actually, literally within hours of his passing, I buried him. Mm-hmm. I said, we can't wait. I mean, he's got to, I have to do this.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give you the time to say your goodbyes and for her to say her goodbyes and so forth. And, but here's the point of the story.
Mm-hmm.
We allowed our animals, Connor and Makushla were around. We even brought Connor into the run where Chemo, the Siberian Husky, his body was.
Yep.
And we let them in the run to be with them, to see.
Yeah, we do the same thing, yeah.
Whereas with the three Siberians that we had to put down,
mm-hmm.
we were at the vets.
Yeah.
And there was nothing we can do.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's so much healing. Like, you know, they're like people that they have these, they're friends, and they want to have that opportunity to say goodbye to them. Yes, animals are more sensitive than a lot of people, and they do see the animals, but they still have that difference when they're not there to physically play with them, right?
Yeah.
Now, when we lost Rocky and Molly was there, she grieved. She stopped eating, but her and I were mourning together.
Yeah.
And that was a good thing for us. And I included our children involved in that. And a lot of people don't include their kids. We had the vet come to the house and, you know, had the opportunity to be there or not,
yeah.
Right? And that was really important. Now, we lost our dog, Willie, last January. And, again, I said to him that when it's your time, and I knew he'd given me the message that when we had our new house built here just 2 years ago, and before we moved, he said he wouldn't be with us much longer, but like much after we bought the house, moved into the house. He was kind of here until the transition. We had moved, and he was here basically for our dog, Gus. Now, Gus is a real sensitive dog, and we rescued him 5 weeks old. His litter was abandoned in an apartment building. The owner had taken the mother, and they were gone, and this litter of puppies were there. And Gus had all kinds of emotional stuff, and when we brought him into our home, Willie, our little Shih Tzu, took and started, you know, mothering this Shih Tzu. And so they were really, really close. And so with Willie, I knew that we weren't going to have him a long time because we had rescued him. The people who had him asked if I specifically would take him because they knew that I would do energy work on him. He was crushed by his mother, and Willie had a crushed hip, couldn't hardly walk. He had a heart problem. So they didn't think he was going to even live a month, let alone he had life 12 years.
You know, wow.
Because of being with us, right? And the energy work I did and stuff like that on him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that time came and Willie was preparing me and saying, you know, not much longer, you're going to be okay. And, you know, when I go, I'm you know, you're really going to soar. Things are going to soar in your life and in your career. And I said, okay, Willie, that's great to know, you know. And I'm like, you know, when you're in denial, this is one of those times you don't want to know what you know.
Yeah.
So that night, we were finding Willie was, you know, whimpering and just giving us that look. And I said to Ross, you know, I think this is the night we're going to be saying goodbye to Willie. And 2:30 that morning, I'd stayed up with him all night. I was doing Reiki on him, and I could feel that his lungs, you know, were filling with fluid and that. And I said, you need to tell me when it's time. And he gave me a sign. He gave me this look and a bit of a whimper and kind of took his paw on my shoulder because at this point I'm holding him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew we had to go to the vet, like into a walk-in clinic they have here up in Canada. It's, they had like the tents and oxygen tent and everything. And so we had to go there because at that time of the night, vets would not come out to our home. During the day, yes, but not in the middle of the night. And so we put Willie and Gus beside each other, and Gus licked him. And Gus seemed fine, that when he said goodbye to him, he was fine. But here's the really interesting part, that sometimes people are seeing these miracles, or they'll see angels, but they don't really know. So here's an example of what happened, okay? So we go to this clinic. I'm holding Willie, and we get to the walk-in clinic for the animals, and right here, right in front of me, appeared this big, big cat. He was bigger than Willie, and Willie was about 14 pounds. And this cat was huge, and he started doing all these tricks in front of me and all that. Now, the interesting part, that same cat came to the vet's office when Willie was just a new puppy and got his first rabies shot, which he had a reaction to. And we found out he almost crossed over then because he was allergic to needles, right? So here this cat appeared then and stayed with Willie when he had those shots and kind of brought him out of it and brought him back to us right after that when he was a puppy. Well, this same cat appeared just before, like when we walked in, and then they took him and they put him in an oxygen tent. And the cat appeared right with us and was doing all these really wacky things I've never seen a cat do before. And then all of a sudden, it just walked in this room, and then they said to us, you know, if we could come in, and they said, you know, they could put him in an oxygen tent or, you know, take him and put him on, like, IVs and stuff like that. And we said, no, we knew it was his time, that he had given us the sign, and there was no guilt, there was no questioning, we just knew, you know.
Yeah.
And that was a great thing about me having this gift, that I was so... no guilt feelings, no questioning. We knew it was the right thing.
Well, I have to say that we've had the experience of actually being, as you said, you've had your animals in your arms. Well, we had a cat. We moved to Santa Barbara with four,
okay.
And we've had two pass. One was Amos, and the other one was a beautiful, very fuzzy, long-haired I almost want to say Siamese, because that's kind of what his brother looks like.
Yeah.
His name was Mella,
okay.
Which is Gaelic for honey.
Mm-hmm.
And we took him to the vet. We realized he wasn't really doing well and eating and this and that and the other. And the guy, he did his exam, mm-hmm. and he said, look, we can run a bunch of tests,
mm-hmm.
draw the blood, this and that, and cost you hundreds of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you right now that by the time the results come back, it's basically going to say that his organs are all shutting down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And bear in mind, these two cats we took into our home as kittens, days if not weeks old, and now we're from Phoenix. These kittens had been tossed into a dumpster in the middle of June.
So that makes you sick.
So they obviously had some damage due to the heat, exposure to the extreme heat.
Yeah.
Now the other cat, who looks more like a Siamese, his name is Schmeagle. He is still alive and well and racing around, and he's becoming more social. But my wife and I were actually laying in bed holding Mella,
mm-hmm.
knowing this was her time.
Yeah.
His time. I keep mm-hmm. wanting to say a female.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife remembers that at the moment that Mella passed,
mm-hmm.
she felt his essence go right through her.
Yeah, it does.
And I remember just before that happened how he would make a loud, almost like, you know, those hissing, growling noises they make when they're kind of taking position on territory with another animal.
Uh-huh.
And he was doing that, and his claw would come out. And I was getting concerned for Amrita's safety because, again, I've not experienced this before like this.
Okay.
And so... she said, no, don't worry. He's fine.
Yeah.
And I'm fine.
Yeah.
And so forth. And so, again, we went through this process. And so we've, you know, I have honestly, since we've moved to Santa Barbara, I've just buried way too many animals. But by the same token.
You know what? There's change, though, happening for you, right?
Yeah.
And like, what I like to tell everybody is that all the animals that come into your life have come in there for a reason.
Yeah.
And
well, Connor was in particular, he was there, and I don't recall if it was you who had shared this with me or someone else, but he was there for her. I mean, he was an old soul. We could tell. I mean, just by his demeanor.
Yeah.
And the one time that I can remember him actually having fun,
mm-hmm.
not to say that we didn't throw balls for him to get him to chase them, but he's just, yeah. fine, you threw the ball, you go get it. That's not my thing.
Yeah.
I was running around in the backyard when we moved here. With him, with he and Makushla. This was after Angus, Chemo's passing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was running around in the backyard, and all of a sudden from behind, Connor comes up from behind me and knocks my right leg out from under me. And, and I go flat on my back, knocked the wind out of me.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't even call for help.
Oh, Josh.
And I wasn't angry or mad at Connor because we were in the backyard playing and he was playing. That was his form of, if you will, humor.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you want to play? We'll play.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like what we say to our guys, like now, but like when we lost Willie, we knew that like it was going to be tough for Gus because we had two of them all the time. We've always had two. And so what happened, I was at a point where I didn't want to really get another dog right away, but I knew I had to. I was still mourning Willie, but I knew we had to for Gus to get one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we called every shelter around. There was not a shelter that had a non-allergenic breed that I could take with me to my events. My animals are part of what I do, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my daughter had seen that there was a place where they had puppies, and she thoroughly checked them out. And long story short, Marley found his home. We connected with Marley, little Shih Tzu, and Marley came home with us. And I was in a place where I just said, you know, whoever's supposed to come home with me, whoever's supposed to be our new family member, show me a sign. And I love it when animals lick my face. I love, love, love it so much, right? And so there was three little puppies, and only one licked my face, and that was Marley. Now, when you go to our Get Inspired Media Network, you will see Marley is the logo for our TV production company that we're starting now. And so what happens every day is I will say to Gus and Marley, they're in my office right there at my feet, along with all my dogs on their side, and I'll say to them, when it is lunchtime, remind me at noon, you know, time to go for a walk, because if I get distracted, I need you to help me with this. And do you know, every day at noon, if I miss that I don't get up, and that can happen during the week, that, you know, I might miss that noon time get up, they will come over and they will paw at my leg to tell me it's time to go out for a walk.
Mm.
And they really, both of these guys really helped me to stay very grounded and balanced. And but, you know, more people need to do that is ask your pet to give you signs and to help you with, you know, with different things, because they definitely are smarter than people give them credit for.
That is probably the best advice I think that one can give in regards to, I mean, if you're going to have animals in your life, pets in your life, mm-hmm. I couldn't encourage that person more to really work at, I'm not talking about communicating with the animal. I'm talking about learning to understand why the animal does what it does, because animals don't do things for no reason. Even if it's play, that's the reason.
And they know you need it. That's
exactly
why they do that.
We have the three shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going back to your little story about, you know, I've got to get another dog for the other dog that's still alive.
Yeah.
Well, when Connor passed in August, I mm-hmm. think it was 2012, 2013.
Okay.
I did not want to get another dog right away.
Mm-hmm.
I said, she has been caring for chemo. She raised Connor. She needs some time to be solo. She needs to get all the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so we waited 6 months. Now, from my perspective, I would have liked to have given her even more time, mm-hmm. but another dog came along at the right time, and we brought this puppy in at 8 weeks, and she turned into mom right away.
Yeah.
And raised Angus, who is now bigger than her.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. And then we came across another purebred shepherd we named Bridget, mm-hmm. who is about the same size as her now, but was a puppy of about three or four months. She was born on January 6th, and it was April 15th that we took ownership.
Wow.
And unfortunately, Angus still ain't a fan, so we don't have them together in the yard together.
Mm-hmm.
We're still working on that dynamic, but
they'll work it out. You have to let them work it out, right?
Yeah, but we want to let them work it out to where they don't hurt each other in the process.
Well, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
It has to be supervised. These
exactly.
are supervised visits.
Yeah.
But Makushla could care less. She loves them both. Now, they can spend, they can be with Makushla individually, if you will, two at a time, you know, in other words, two in the yard at a time.
Yeah.
But never the two that aren't getting along. And that's fine, you know, and life is still good. And we've worked out, you know, ways of making sure that the two don't meet, because we've actually had situations where we did have them meet by accident and we had to pull them apart.
Yeah, we had a situation too. And so I know exactly what you're saying, because when Ross and I came together as this couple, we each had, you know, we're married before and we each had two daughters, and we're thinking, we're like the Brady Bunch, right? We're combining families, mm-hmm. four girls, and oh my goodness, you know, and putting out the intentions for good stuff to happen and all this, right? Never dreamt it would, the issue was going to be with our dogs. Ross had a Jack Russell and I had two Shih Tzus.
Cool.
And the little Willie was the puppy at the time, our Shih Tzu. And my female and Ross's female decided they were going to mother the puppy. And they had a fight over who was going to be the mother. And
oh, wow.
Jack Russell has got a really strong grip. I don't know if you've ever witnessed it, but beware. And what happened, Ross had to go in the backyard to try and separate them. At that point, Maddie, the Jack Russell, had locked his jaw down on Molly, the Shih Tzu's neck. And you could just picture this fly-in going up and down as Ross is trying to separate these dogs. And Maddie was never the same. We had the Jack Russell. We had to find a new home for her.
Mm.
And, you know, it was good for her. She went out, you know, she liked, Jack
sure.
Russells have a lot of energy. And she went to a family that had a home in the country where she could do lots of moving. But there are times where just sometimes an animal won't get along with another one. But also here, this dog, this Jack Russell, was going from a man who had all her attention, seeing his kids twice, like, you know, a couple times a mm-hmm. week, to coming into a family with all these kids and two other dogs, and then watching her owner be shared with another person.
Yeah.
It was just too stressful for her.
Yeah. Those are the kinds of situations where I would put you in contact or someone in contact with a woman who we've had on the program this month. Her name is Barbara Kurtman.
Okay.
She communicates with the living animals.
Okay.
She shared a great deal about Angus and Bridget over the last a couple of months with me and with Marina and I. A good combination. The two of you would make a good combination in that regard. Before we take our break, I have to say that I think that it's extremely important, like I said, to listen to your animals, to learn the signs. I can tell now when Angus is ready to go outside because he's hungry. And we need to make the switch in the evening for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than sit there, put him in the crate, have him whine and fuss for 10, 15 minutes and continually say, quiet, no, bad dog. You know, it's like the dog is hungry.
Yeah.
So
but
it's,
you know,
it's
you
time.
Know also, can I
yes, go right ahead.
Okay. What people also need to know too is that animals, if you see them barking and they just bark at a corner in your room or they just start barking,
mm-hmm.
don't give them heck. Really watch where they're barking, because a lot of times when you see them barking, they're not barking at somebody walking by or another dog, but they're barking to tell you that they're feeling the energy of another animal in that place.
Mm-hmm.
And our dogs always talk with our other dogs on the other side.
Oh, wow.
All the time.
I would venture that that happens more often than not at the house.
Yep.
I remember when we first got Angus, and he was an eight-week-old puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Just the cutest little thing. We would have loved to have kept him as a puppy. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. that doesn't work that way.
Yeah, they grow up.
But the one thing that I just had this sense mm-hmm. was that I would have loved for him to have grown up with and got to know Connor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of impact that
is,
dog.
He is seeing him, though, remember?
Yeah.
Just in a different
right.
Energy. Right?
And believe it or not, Connor is actually buried in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And for a period of time, Makushla actually would go over and sit down
yep.
on his grave.
Yep.
And I would do nothing about it. I just, hey, that's what she's got to do. What we've got to do is take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of these things. We're also going to talk more about the network that that Sue is a part of, and we encourage you to stay tuned. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're talking with Sue London. She's a speaker, trainer, author, radio, TV host, and we're also going to talk about the Get Inspired Media Network that she has started. We're going to talk also, she's also an author. She's written a book entitled and I just had it right in front of me. There it is. Soar Above It All. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we will be right back.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, as we wrap up the month of May 2015. Really? Come on. Are you serious? It can't be going by that fast, but apparently it is. And that also means that the beautiful, loving, caring, and playful animals that we have in our homes, they're getting older too, and they have much shorter lifespans usually than we, unless you own an elephant or other animal that has a very long life. By the same token, I find it interesting, Sue London, who is our guest on the program, that a lot of times animals, I mean, if you're really connect with them, if you really begin to understand them, if you really sort of work with them in your life, they may very well live a much longer life. I couldn't believe it when people say, 25 years that cat is? Really? They'd never heard of a 25-year-old cat. Nonetheless, you know, the animals will be with you as long as they are needed, or you need them, if you will, and they know when their time is. And as far as Connor is concerned, as hard as that was, I mean, he was, I don't even think he was seven.
Yeah.
And well, it's like, come on.
But if you look back, though, he came into your life at a time, and he left at a time where something had changed for you, right?
Yeah.
He was there for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you look at every animal you've owned, and I like to point this out to every listener, because like you can spend so much time grieving over that pet. And can I share an example?
This might
help a lot of people. When I had Rocky come into my life, this was an animal that was going to be put down to sleep, because he was a year old and the owner just couldn't keep him anymore. So instead of trying to find him at home, she just said she's going to put him down.
Wow.
1 year old little Shih Tzu, and I couldn't handle that. So we brought him in our home. So what happened? We get this dog. It's a couple months later. I am diagnosed with having Crohn's disease. Had no sign of, didn't know I was going to have this disease. Didn't see it coming. I'm just saving this dog's life, so I thought. Right? That dog went on to save my life through all of those experiences I had, you know. And he stayed with me. Came to the hospital when I was, you know, having 3 feet of my intestine removed, when I was told that, you know, when I'm pregnant with my second child, I'm not supposed to be able to carry this child because my weight had gone down to 80 pounds, but a new doctor prescribed this dog to come. And so all of these things that I went through, the dog got me through. The babies now that I wasn't supposed to have, it's getting married in a few months. So, you know, every time when I'm at, you know, seeing my daughter trying on her wedding dress or all this, I start crying because I'm looking back to what Rocky did to help this miracle of a baby be born, and then to be born healthy and me be healthy. So what happened was, you know, I go through all of these challenges and then get healthy and go through this, you know, challenging divorce from a man who was not only had a girlfriend but was also abusive towards me and my children, then to have Mr. Wright come in my life. And then that's when he started going downhill. That's one story of how, you know, that dog came into my life for a reason. But what happened, I'm just, you know, so grateful for everything this dog did, and I'm mourning. Even though the gifts I had, I was still like, I still want to feel him in my arms. I still want to feel him licking my face. And what if something comes up that I still need him? Like, I wasn't thinking like a rational, spiritual person like I am, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened, I'm spending so much time grieving. Molly is spending time grieving. And then what happened, a friend of mine, he said, I said to him, you know, I'm not seeing Rocky. And this is driving me nuts because I normally see them on the other side. Or I get confirmation they're okay, like I did with Molly and that. And he said, you're taking and consuming all your time on what you've lost, and you're not focusing in that present moment. And this is something that I want everyone listening to really take note of, because when you're spending time focusing on grieving and what you've lost and you're not in the present moment, you're going to miss these opportunities that your pet are going to come back to you and say, hey, I'm here, I'm okay. And so what happened, I just kept saying to Ross, you know, I'm not sensing Rocky, like, this is, I just can't explain what's happening here, right? So what ended up happening, Christmas, you know, came and we were like 2 days away from Christmas Eve, and Ross had said that he wanted to give me an early Christmas present. And I thought, okay, that's strange, but that's nice. You know, I like getting gifts and surprises and that. So what happened, he told me the story, how he, you know, gave me the gift. I opened it, and it was a candle holder, and it was three angels holding hands. And what happened was, he said it was the strangest thing for him. He's not one to go in a card shop and to get a gift, and he didn't know what he was getting me, but he felt he was being pulled into this particular gift shop, in this gift card store, and there he was pulled over to this spot where he saw this three angel candle holder on the shelf glowing to him, and he just felt he had to get it. It was like this power came over him, he said, like it was like this need, not like you know what I mean, like it was like he had to get it.
Yeah.
So he got it for me, and then what happened, he gave it to me and that, and when I opened it, I started crying, because there in front of me appeared Rocky. And my second angel has always been my grandfather, my grandpa Buck, who's I lost him when he was 21, and then he came back as still kicking my butt and giving me lots of love and mentorship and that. And so he appeared in front of me, and then my angel, my guardian angel, appeared. So the three of them appeared in front of me when Ross gave me this candle. And from that day on, because of getting this candle and just seeing that the symbolism of the angels, it helped me to get back in the present moment. And now, like, I can get into bed and I'm having to, like, move my feet because there's, like, seven dogs in our bed. Two on this side, five on the other, you know?
Yeah, we have seven cats, so I know the feeling. And these cats are still alive.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, my goodness. It's quite an interesting experience.
Yeah.
I will say that Connor came into our lives in a really strange way as well, because he was a puppy who was up for sale at the local pet store. Actually, I think it was PetSmart or something like that.
Yeah.
In Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And we're in there. And, of course, we're in the process of moving to Santa Barbara. We're putting up the house for sale. And I'm saying, no, we can't get a dog. We're moving. That wouldn't be fair to the dog. I mean, that was where I really felt very strongly about that.
Yeah.
We're going to be leaving, and then all of a sudden he's already got a change coming into our home, and now we're going to change the home. And so we left, and we drove by that pet store a week later, and she says, I want to go in.
Mm-hmm.
He was still there.
Waiting for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, what am I going to do? You know?
Yeah. And you know what's interesting, too, because he was still waiting for you. What happened with us with Rocky, we had neighbors that lived behind us. He was like a second father to me, and he tried to give me Rocky when he was born, and I said no, I couldn't take any more pets. And that dog went to that place, that to the other owner, and it was that man, you know, this Johnny, who said, look, you got to help with this dog. So it's the point I'm kind of making is, like, from your story and mine, if there's an animal that's meant to be for you, that animal will be for you.
Well, apparently Bridget is in the same category, because initially when I found out about her, my wife was going to go to the house of the gentleman who owned him, owned Bridget, mm-hmm. and she was going to take pictures and distribute them to find a home for him, for her.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of taking pictures, she took the dog. And we kept her for many months until Amrita became sick and was hospitalized last November.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we need to find a home for her, because you're going to be in no condition, and I can't care for all these animals,
mm-hmm.
you know, just myself while you're recuperating. So I began the process of looking for a home for her,
mm-hmm.
and I had one, and she... Amrita, she rejected it. She said, no. And then we got into, I think, January and February when she began to recuperate. And I said, okay, well, let's find a home for her. Mm-hmm. And I found one. And she said no. Now, she had actually agreed to the process.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's, I can't. So we still have her. And I've acquiesced, if you will, and said, she's a part of our family. I mean, that's the law. Regardless of the relationship that she and Angus have, she's a part of our family. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And eventually, they will come together and they will be a pack, whether it's two or three. Mm-hmm. And Amrita had an interesting point because Makushla's got to be 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's not going to live forever.
No.
And if we, when we lose her, if we didn't have Bridget, we'd have to get another dog anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and see, that's what happened when we had Molly, yeah. And then we brought Willie in. And then when we heard what happened with Gus, I thought, there's no way that I can have this little puppy. Because he had a lot of emotional stuff going on inside.
Yeah.
You know, with being abandoned like that at 5 weeks old. So when we brought Gus in, Molly was not impressed with Gus at all. Her friend was Willie, and that's how she wanted it. And so what would happen is that Willie was the one that kind of kept them separate. Like, he was kind of the peacekeeper between the three.
Mm.
And so what would happen, he kind of taught Gus, don't get close to her. Walk way around her. So what happens now to this day, Molly's on the other side, still with us, and I can see Gus walking around the big area instead of going straight, and I know Molly's in the room, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Well, now, folks, you're probably listening to all of this and going, what do these stories have to do with me? How does this impact my life? And I have to say that I think that they are stories. They're our stories, both Sue's and mine. You have yours. But I think the stories are here and designed to support you, to encourage you, hopefully to inspire you to hang in there with whatever pets that you might have. And there are times when, yeah, it gets really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have an MRI done on my left knee because I thought I was having the same problem as my right knee, some tears and this and that and the other. And I'd have to have a little scope. And of course, now it's going to take a couple of weeks for me to heal and I'm going to be hobbling, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out there are no tears. There's just lots of inflammation. So I know what to do about that. And I can still get around and I can get out there and I can play with the dogs and do this and that and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all of the challenges, be they departures, be they difficulty in connecting,
mm-hmm.
They're all part of what makes me who I am, what makes my wife who she is,
mm-hmm.
what makes our house what it is. And sometimes I say, as frustrating as it might get, I don't think I'd have it any other way.
No. I know exactly what you're saying, and we travel a lot, and I'm really blessed. We've got a really great dog sitter, takes our guys in our house. And
yeah.
We've never taken our dogs. We're Canadian, and we've never taken our dogs to the States. And we go to the States all of the time. Like, I'm like 30 minutes from the border.
Well, I think there's a problem with their passports, is what it is. I think they're on a watch list.
You know what? I'm taking the plunge this year, though. I interviewed Loretta Swit.
Yes, I saw that on your website.
And she was really good inspiration for me. And she said, no, take the dogs with you, bring them down and that. And we thought, yeah, you know, they're small dogs and you know, they do travel to my events with me and they'll be great. So we had a trial run last week and we had to get special paperwork from our vet and shows their shots. And we took a trial run down last weekend to, we went to Niagara Falls, New York. And
oh, wow.
We were at the border. Well, I live in the Niagara region of southern Ontario,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not far like that, you know, to cross over.
Yeah.
But the dogs were at my feet when we did this trial run. It was a hot, strange day here for us Canadians because we don't get that hot weather like you get down there, right?
Yeah.
And so we thought, put them at my feet on the floor because the air conditioner can blow on them. Didn't want them getting heat stroke or anything. And we got to the border, and the American Guard didn't even know we had dogs in the car. They were sleeping. And so then we, you know, did a bit of a test in that and showed him our paperwork and said, tell us, you know, make sure we got the right paperwork in that. And so long story short, we took the dogs, had a great trip, came back to our Canadian border, and then Marley, the puppy, decided to make himself known to our Canadian border guard. And he was like, no, that's fine. You know, you're all set. You know, bring them down anytime. But the point I'm making is that it's like traveling with kids when you travel with your pets. It's you got to prepare so much in advance. You got to think about, you know, their heat stroke. They have lots of water, and but I'm so glad we're doing it, because when we've traveled, you know, every other trip, I've always had to say to the dog sitter, send me a video every day, because I'm missing the dogs so much.
Yeah.
Or I would go up to people's dogs and say, I'm really missing my pet. Can I please pet your dog? And then my family started calling me a dog stalker. And they said, no, she's a dog stalker. And, you know, I said to the kids, stop saying that, because people will think I am. You know, you could get me in trouble.
Yeah.
And so, that, you know, this is solving my problem. So I'm really excited. Our dogs are coming to Virginia with me.
Well, that's cool. That's so, very cool.
Yeah, so I'm really excited.
Now, before we wrap up the program, let's talk a little bit about this new network that you're going to be, that you have going, Get Inspired Media Network.
Yeah.
And how people can either, A, get involved, or that can participate with and communicate with the various hosts that you are lining up.
Well, basically the website is getinspiredmedianetwork.com. And like we've been talking about the animals connecting from the other side, this network is totally been divinely guided to me from my angels and my loved ones and my pets on the other side. So everyone on there, I've heard, pick up the phone and call this person. Or one situation has led to another for me to be connected to these people on there. So, you know, when you go to the site, keep that in mind, because that is totally a project that I can't take credit for. I am the founder, but I was just following the guidance from the other side to create that. So if people are interested, you can, you know, become a network host with us. You'll see where it says host. You drop down menu, and then you click on care to join us, apply to join us. We have a marketplace on there that we're now accepting new distributors to share their products for us to help you help others. It's great, and we have offering training for podcasts. We've got production crew starting to help us with video. People do video production. We've got my branding guy, who's part of the team, John Arima. He worked with Celine Dion and Martin Short, and he's helping, you know, people with their branding and logos and websites and that. And we've got another girl doing promotion. Just it's everybody literally has been sent to me from above, and it's really something I think everyone should check out, because it's really a miracle that has happened in creating that. I'm pretty proud to say that I took the direction that they gave me after that near-death experience, and this is as a result that we're helping millions of people around the world.
Well, I know the feeling in terms of being guided, because the questions asked on this program aren't mine. I'm just along for the ride.
Yeah.
As far as I know, anyway.
Yeah. No, I could feel you. They were channeled through you. I could feel that, too.
So
good for you, though, for listening.
Well, I encourage people to do just that, and to be a host, or to call in and talk with some of the folks. Go to the website, getinspiredmedianetwork.com. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Getinspiredmedianetwork.com is the website. Sue London is the, we'll say, founder, if you will, also author of Above It All, and we talked about that in our last interview, and you can find out about that at the website as well, I'm sure. She has a blog, she has all kinds of things going on, and still has time to take care of her animals, which is very exciting. I was sad in one sense to leave Phoenix, from the standpoint that we had a gentleman and his wife across the street from us who would always look after our animals whenever we took trips, mm-hmm. and we tried to do that on a regular basis, but you know, where we're living now, not as practical, but I know that time will come too, when we'll be able to take our animals with us and so forth, and so it's life without them would certainly be much different.
Oh yeah.
Life with them is quite exciting and can be challenging at times, but again, the rewards outweigh any challenges that we face, and I remember learning from a dog in my first marriage, watching the dog's behavior.
Yeah.
In regards to my relationship with my first wife. And that's another thing. You watch your animals and how they respond and react around you and your significant other, or your children for that matter.
Well, you know, I don't know if I ever told you this, but it seems like word's been getting out about this. Maybe people have been hearing other interviews I've been doing or something.
But, what's that?
So here's what happens. I've been having people come to me to want to work for me now that the network is out and that. And I had this one guy email me, and he said, I want you to know I'm a dog lover. That was the first thing he said in his email. And I said, that's great, awesome, you know, I love my dogs. And he said, yeah, he says, I really love, love, love dogs. He was going on about how much he loved dogs. And then at the end he says, we had to set up a time to talk, and I spoke to him, and he said, well, I don't know if he had heard me on an interview or he talked to somebody else, but he knew that my dogs always interview people. So what happens when I'm interviewing somebody to work for me, if we're local or something, I'll have them come over to my place where the dogs are.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch how that person reacts to my dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And if that person, gets down and pat the dogs or whatever, or the dog's making a fuss, they're hired. And I always say, my dogs are the ones that are going to hire you, not me. and so this guy knew this, and so he was doing everything to be hired to work for me, you know.
Oh. So, well, I tell you what, the fail-safe for me anytime I come in contact with other dogs, of course, they're always sniffing me anyway because they're smelling my dogs. I know this.
Yeah.
Is I always put the back of my hand out and down slowly to see if they will. Not all the dogs are going to sniff my hand, but they will sniff my shoes and my pants.
Yeah.
I've had some dogs jump up on me. I had one dog actually jump up in my arms. I was like, "Wait, slow down
yeah.
here. You're not mine, but hey, you're welcome here. It's okay."
Yeah.
And it's again, it is an extraordinary life that we lead with the animals. We've had chickens in our lives as well. We had a tortoise for a period of time. We had a blue tongue skank. I called a snake with legs, and actually had a blue tongue.
Oh, my gosh.
So we've had fish. Speaking of, as we wrap up the program, speaking of fish and speaking of Reiki, we had angelfish. And we had this one angelfish, this black and white one, beautiful, beautiful fish. And all of a sudden, he started swimming sideways.
Oh.
And so we decided that we would reach our hand into the fish bowl and give him Reiki. As we're both Reiki masters, and he never swam quite the same again, but he still lived for a number of months. And I mean, that it's like, wait a minute, it's just a fish. You can go to the pet store and you can get another one. Well, that's true, but it is still an animal that. And it seemed as though these goldfish that we had, and we had a number of them too, they did respond to us. I found that so extraordinary that if we could have put them on a leash and taken them for a walk, we probably could have.
Yeah. Isn't the energy, like, they really are sensitive beings, I like to say.
Yeah.
Because they sense the energy. I have animals that sniff my hands because they can sense the energy.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
It truly is.
Yeah.
Sue Lennon, I want to thank you so much for joining us. And for people who want to get in touch with you for whatever reason, whether it's your network or your knowledge and insight into their past animals, how do they get in touch with you?
Just go to getinspiredmedianetwork.com and you'll see connect with us on there. Like, there's a button on the top, connect, and just go there and tell me what you want to connect about, and then I'll get back to you within 48 hours.
Well, I think it's quite extraordinary, and the connection that we've made is also quite enjoyable, and I thank you so much for taking this time to share with us a second time about the animals in your life, but also in the way in which you are able to bring some closure to folks as well and support them in that regard. And so we thank you so much for the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you. And it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Sound like I'm winding down, but I am, because we're coming to the end of the program. So until next time, love Talal.